today, and these songs have been wonderful, haven't they? We thank God for them this morning. In the book of Luke is where we'll be reading from today, if you'd like to follow along with us for a few minutes of time. And I made mention of Sister Mamie, and Sister Kathy's with us today, and God bless your heart this morning. We pray for you. We lift you up today, and I know that it's hard to try to go back and be without, you know, all the memories are there, all the things that was said and done, and I reflected on that myself yesterday, Sister Kathy, that I went down to my dad's yesterday with my brother, and while they were gone to get some supplies, I went over to the cemetery, and tomorrow, 15 years ago, tomorrow, my mother passed away, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but then it at times it seems like it's been forever. So I know your hurt and your pain this morning, but there's coming a better day for all of us. I go to the cemetery every time I'm down there, not because that's where my mother's at. I know where she's at, but go to show respect. And I know that she's not there, and I know that she can't hear me, but I still speak to that tombstone. Anybody else know what I'm talking about this morning? But you just bear with me. The book of Luke in the 15th chapter. This morning I'd like to bring to you a message that God laid on my heart this week. And God sometimes will give me a scripture, and then I have to work with that, and he'll lead it into a text. Sometimes he'll give me the text, and then I have to go into the scriptures. I never know how God's going to work. And I'm glad about that, because he is a God that he knows what we need, and we don't know even ourselves. But this morning I'd like to bring to you a message entitled Disappointments. Disappointments. How many of you have had disappointments along life's journey? Amen. Amen. I just told you about one of mine, right? Kathy, well, I told them about one of yours. Today, the Bible, you know, we all face disappointments in this life. Some are small, some are medium-sized, and some are big disappointments that we have. But we are no different than any of the generations that was before us. You know, things have changed in time, but yet the same things that cause disappointments to us cause disappointments to our forefathers. Here in the book of Luke, reading two verses today, maybe three verses this morning, it gives us a story of two people and the disappointments that was attached to their decisions. I wish I could make decisions for my people and for some of you, but I can't. You have to make it yourself. Here we have in verse 11, he said that a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And then in verse 17, it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." Verse 18, he said, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants." And stop reading there today. And I said my text is disappointments. There are many decisions that are made that brings one joy and brings another a disappointment. Decisions that we make along the journey of life that we think is the greatest decision we ever made, And somebody else is looking at us and saying, you just made a mistake that is going to be a great disappointment. As I said, decisions we make brings one joy and another a disappointment. Here we have this son that said to his father, give to me all that comes to me, for I'm going to go out and live my life, and I'm going to enjoy living, and I just don't want to be in your house anymore. To that son, he had excitement that he was going out into a world, and he was going to get to experience the world that his father had protected him from. That son had joy, but that father had a great disappointment because he knew what the world contained. And he did not know if there would be somebody watching over him to protect him and to help him. Today we see that disappointments are no different than any other generation. You know, they changed David, but you know, how many of us have had the disappointment of a loss of a job or not getting that job that we wanted? Or because of sickness. We've heard many testimonies over the years about how that people had great plans and sickness came and robbed them of the plans that they had and the disappointment that came along with that. And even death that brings disappointment. Even though we can look and see the signs and know that our people and even ourselves, we don't have very much longer. Death is a disappointment because we will no longer get to have them on this side of the river. Even events in life that bring disappointments. Sometimes it's the little things that we allow to grow into the big things and the disappointments that go along with them. And I'll give you an example. How many of you that's married ever had a feud? Or let me put it in more words. How many of you have ever had words? Right? But you know, if you don't watch it, those words can lead, even though that's a disappointment, it can lead to even deeper disappointment. One walking away, one staying away and saying, it's over. That's why I believe the Bible teaches us today that we ought not let the sun go down upon our wrath. There's a lot of things that I do that Becky don't agree with. There's some things Becky does I don't agree with. But there's no sense in us falling out. You know, at the end of the day, we still love each other. Amen? Even though she may not like me as much, right? But if we're not careful, the devil will take and insert himself between us and drive it to even a greater disappointment than what we could ever think about. And how many of us as moms and dads are disappointed by the choices that our children are making? We're disappointed by them. We're proud of our children, but some of the choices they're making, some of the choices that maybe you're making today, it comes back to mom and dad, and they look at it and say, how I wish they had not made that choice. My mom and dad probably said that about me. Yesterday, I was talking to my brother because he rode with me in the journey, and I said, you know, sometimes you just got to be patient. How many of our parents was patient with us? It's just a phase. They'll get over it. Right? Some of you ain't going to help the preacher this morning. And because they were patient and loving and kind and praying for us, look what God has brought us to. How many of you are proud where God has placed you at today? And how many of you will be open and say, you brought disappointments to your mom and dad? Yeah. You see, throughout the Bible, there's always been times of disappointment. Hezekiah was disappointed when the angel or the prophet said to him, "You're going to die because of your life, because sin come in." But you know what he did? He got down and he began to pray and ask God for forgiveness. And the next thing you know, instead of dying, he had 15 years added to his life. You said every decision we make brings one happiness, one joy, and the other one a disappointment. Who got the disappointment in his life? It was the devil. It was the devil. Today we see how that one of the greatest disappointment stories I believe that there is in the Bible is concerning Job. When the news come that his animals were dead, his barns were gone, and his children were killed. You talking about disappointment. One of those would probably drive a modern day Christian over the edge. But here all three of them come. And then here come his friends talking bad about him, blaming everything on Job. Have you ever went through a trial and you know it was God that was putting you through it, and everybody, maybe even you, thought it was your own fault? There are times that we're put to a test, and I'm afraid many of us don't pass the test. And you say, who gets the disappointment there? I believe God is disappointed every time we go through a test and we fail. How many of us will honor God and recognize that we probably failed more tests than we passed? Amen? The Bible teaches us that when we look at all these disappointments that folks had along the journey of life, my mind went back to how Jesus had even had disappointments here on this earth. You remember in the scripture, it tells us that as he went there in the garden to pray in Gethsemane, that even as he was praying, his disciples, his apostles, would not even stay awake, but they fell asleep there. And every time he went, he'd come back and they was asleep. And he said, could you not even pray? Could you not even, if I can paraphrase it, stay awake while I went yonder to pray? And I asked many years ago in a message, how many of us are asleep today? And it must bring a disappointment to our Father's eye. Jesus had done so much for these men, and yet they could not stay with him even while he was praying about the days that was to come when his life would be taken from him. We see also that Jesus, we learn this as a child, that when Jesus heard that Lazarus was dead, it was a disappointment to him. It was such a disappointment that when he stood there outside of the tomb, Scripture tells us that he wept. I believe he wept for his friend Lazarus that was dead, but I also believe he wept because he was bringing him back from yonder's world back to a sin-filled world where Lazarus would experience even more disappointments. How about when we look at when Jesus was there and he asked them, he looked around and he asked the ones that were left, he said, where are they all at? Because many of the disciples followed him no more. I believe that he must be terribly sad and disappointed today by the number of people, listen church, that are no longer following God but are following their own paths. We have disappointments. Jesus had disappointments. And even God has disappointments. God had disappointments, I believe with all my heart, because he said that we have turned the truth into a lie and a lie into the truth. How many of you know the difference between the Word of God and what's being published or what's being put out over the airways today? A lot of it is not the truth, it's a lie. And how disappointed God must be that His Word has been adulterated in the form and fashion to which it is today. God must be disappointed as well when He looked around and His disciples walked with Him no more. They were nowhere to be found. Could you imagine how disappointed Christ was hanging there on the cross between the heavens and earth, and He looked around, and where was those apostles that said, "Lord, we'll never leave You"? In fact, Peter even said, "I'll even die with You." But when He was on the cross and He looked around, the very ones that said, "We love You and we'll be with You to the end," were nowhere to be found. In fact, instead of being there praying for Him and trying to witness for Him, Peter was off cursing. Yeah, what a disappointment that must have been. What a disappointment. God must be disappointed that when we look, and how many of you got needs today? I made mention of my nephews and other family members. And I don't do that to embarrass them. I say that because of the disappointment that we have in the choices that they have made. I say it because Jesus said, if we would ask, we would receive. But what a great disappointment it must be for God that we don't even ask anymore. He said, "Seek and you shall find," and we don't even seek anymore. He said, "Knock and it shall be opened," and we don't even knock anymore. What a disappointment that it must be for God to look down upon His children, knowing that He has the answer if we would just ask. And we won't even ask. You know what? We become too proud. What about our mothers in years gone by, and fathers too, but I believe, thank God for the mothers of the church that would walk around the church and they didn't care who heard them when they prayed or when they testified to God, asking God for the needs that they had in their home. They would say, "Lord, touch my child." Some of them would pray, "Lord, touch my husband, touch my loved ones." Because they need it. And if God laid upon it, they would call out the very sin that they was praying for. You say, "I wouldn't want to embarrass my young people, my loved ones today like that." Folks, let me tell you, we're trying to sweep our disappointments under a rug. You know, and I've been bad about this through the years. But what we need to do, instead of trying to hide it, we just need to confess it and say, "Lord, help us with our disappointments that we are at." I'm sure Jesus was disappointed when He looked around and He performed many miracles. And the scripture says that He would have done many, many more. But they did not believe upon Him. Here He comes. It reminds me of the story of the marriage supper, Brother Ray. Here, they put all things together. It was ready. All the people had to do was show up. And yet, like so many of us today, when the invitation went out to come, all things are now ready. The supper is there. They all began to make excuses one after another. Have you ever had an event and you invited somebody and how they didn't show up, they didn't call, they didn't do anything, and what a disappointment it was to you? You know what I've learned through the years, and I don't mean for you to take this the wrong way. The only one I can truly count on anymore is Roger. Some of you think about that. Right? And sometimes I can't even count on him. How many of you ever let yourself down? And what a disappointment it was, wasn't it? There were things I did when I was growing up that I could still see mom's face and the disappointment that was in them. And I knew I'd let her down. Disappointment that I knew that I'd let Becky down. Disappointment that I'd let the church down. But there is nothing like when you let your God down. The disappointment that comes along with that. It's forever etched in our minds. I believe that God, this is Roger this morning. I believe that God is disappointed every time we disobey him. I mean, when I look at our kids and I know that we taught them to do right. We taught them the good values of life and the morals. And when one of them does something just, and I'm not talking about deep and gross sin, but you know the Bible, and we try to justify it by that. You know what the Bible says? All sin is sin before God. But when they say something they shouldn't have said, or when they do something they shouldn't do, it is such a disappointment. And as I've heard some of you say, where did I go wrong? Did I fail in a lesson? And I'll be the first parent, if nobody else wants to confess this morning, I made my mistakes raising my children. I did. Even the best you can is not good enough. And every time I believe that we disobey God, it disappoints him. Every time we fail him, it disappoints him. Every time he knocks upon our heart and we reject him or his advice, I believe it disappoints him. You know, we say, Lord, teach me your ways. Lord, tell me where to go. Tell me how to do things. And then when God does, we walk away and go contrary to what he told us. We know it's true. And what a disappointment it must be. And I'll say this one more time. Folks, I wouldn't want to disappoint you. I wouldn't want to disappoint my family. But most of all, I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to disappoint him. But I look at us today, and if I can bring the church into this morning, how many of us or how many people we know that have time and energy for everything in the world except for God? Brother Lloyd did a little preaching in Sunday school this morning. He said, what we need to do is turn off that TV and get the book out and begin to read and meditate upon it. Because people say, I wish God would give me a word to say to my lost people. God said, I've already given you a book of them. If you get it out and read it, you'd see. Instead of us getting there and having nothing to say. What a disappointment it must be for God when we have an opportunity to share the story of Jesus Christ and we walk away and don't say anything. It might just been the word that person needed to hear. How disappointed God must be in our world today. This world is in bad, bad shape. God looks at this world and says, I gave my son for that. How disappointed he must be when we've got a society that today everything that is against God's word is favorable or accepted. how disappointing it must be for God that it's all right to kill a baby in the womb and let a murderer or pedophile set in prison and never do anything about it. You say, Roger, are you for capital punishment? The Bible says an eye for an eye. Could I do it? No. But that's what God's word says. Amen? And we'll murder a child, but let a villain go free. It don't make sense to me. And it must be so disappointing to God. When everything we look at today in the church and the word of God, that people don't want to hear a word from God. They don't want to feel the Holy Spirit anymore. They want to be entertained. I say if you get right with God, you'll be entertained. In fact, there's nothing that entertains me like the movement of the Holy Spirit of God in the midst of the grand old church. Can I put this in? When we come into the house of the Lord and we walk away and we say, man, that was a dry service. You know what God is saying? I believe he's disappointed, right? He said, if only somebody that I laid it up on their heart to follow me, if they would have followed me, you'd had showers of the Holy Ghost coming down. Amen? He's got it prepared. How disappointed he must be when he tells us in his word, fail not the assembling of yourselves in the house of the Lord. And yet we've got so many pews that are empty. So many seats that are unfilled. Where are they at today? Some may have had to work, but most are probably, Becky said it, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and I heard it mentioned again today with you, Sister Jackie. You know, if the devil could have, he'd kept every one of us in the bed this morning. How many of you woke up this morning and say, oh, the joints, the pain that I feel today? How many of us woke up and said, I'm so tired? And you know, we could have stayed at the house and people would have pat us on the back and said, you deserve some rest. Right? But you know what? When it really comes down to it, would God have been happy with us or disappointed if we stayed at the house? I believe he'd been disappointed. I believe that today. You say, but I was just so tired. Just so tired. And I'll put this in, I'll move on. I feel sorry for this generation that we're in today. I had a guy ask me on Friday. He said, all you do is work. What in the world do you do for relaxation? I said, work. I said, work is my relaxation. He says, but when I get off work, I come home and I don't want to do any more work. I said, well, you know, we're all made different. When I get off work and I get to go home and tinker with an old car or tinker with something around the house, Becky's had me more than tinkering, though. I don't like that part. You know, I feel better doing that than I do sitting on the couch. Because when I sit on the couch, I feel worse than if I was out moving. Cecil, say amen for me, brother. We're cut from the same tree. You see, sometimes we've got to follow our own heart instead of following what everybody else tells us we need to be doing. Because I would rather disappoint everybody else and not disappoint my God, my Lord, and my Savior. Let me close this morning. First of all, every time God speaks to us, when the Holy Ghost is moving through the midst of the church and God is knocking upon a brother or sister's heart and they reject him, I believe that is the greatest disappointment that anybody could ever experience, is to have them say no to a God that wants to save their dying soul. How sad of a situation. I said in the beginning, every decision we make brings joy to one and disappointment for another. That father, when that son went away, he was disappointed. Even though that son had joy as he was walking down the street. Lloyd, you made mention about leaving home. Clarence Neal last Sunday he was here. He preached to us and he said he left home at 17 years old. You know, many of us that left home, we thought we were going to go out, we're going to make it for ourselves, and we're going to just do whatever we have to do. But many of us went back home sooner or later and said, Dad, you was right. It's a rough world out there. But we read that while this son had joy and his father had a disappointment, there came a day that son had a disappointment because he'd spent all that he had with riotous living. I've never preached it like this, Brother Ray. He spent all that he had with riotous living. He was down in the hog pen, church. And he was so disappointed by the choices he made. And then he was not just disappointed, but I believe he was embarrassed that he had sunk so low. And it come to his memory that those little servants back at his father's house, being embarrassed and disappointed by his choices, he got up and went back to his father. And he had his whole story rehearsed, did he not, church? Father, I have sinned before you and God. I'm no more worthy to be called a son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. I believe as he journeyed, he kept rehearsing that in his mind because he knew that he was a disappointment to his father. But you know, the whole time he was gone, that father that had the disappointment was looking down the road. And one day, that father's disappointment became joy. He saw a familiar form coming down the road. But he didn't wait until he got there. Look, church, he had everything prepared, waiting for the day that he would see that boy coming back down the road. He had the fatted calf, he had the robe, he had the shoes, and he had the ring. And when he got in sight, that father ran to where that son was at with joy. And I believe that son kept his head down because of the embarrassment and disappointment that he had been to his father. But the father put his arms around about him. How many of us today, some of our disappointments would just come and get right with God? We'd forget about all the things that was done, Ron, and we would have joy. We'd have joy today. And the son rehearsed that line that he'd rehearsed. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. And that father said, oh, you are my son. He told the servants, kill the fatted calf. Let's make a feast, for this is my son that was lost. Now he is found. If I can put that in there this morning. He's come home. All the disappointments are forgotten about. All of them. I said I had my own share of disappointments that I'd brought to my mom and dad. But you know, upon her dying bed, her words to me was not that about the mistakes that I'd made, but she looked at me and she said, I'm just so proud of you, and I love you so much that I can never tell you, I can't put into words how much I truly love you. And I share that with you this morning because that's what God wants to say to you today. Doesn't matter what mistakes you made. Don't matter whatsoever of where you've been. God says, come home. Let's put those disappointments behind us. And let's have joy. Because there ought to be some joy in the house of God. Amen. Rob and Sharon, get us a song this morning. I ask you today. Maybe not that one that's next to you, or maybe even somebody at the house that you brought disappointments to. But I ask you to look at your life before God. Have you truly brought him joy? Or have you brought him more disappointments than what was needed? When he's saying all you have to do is ask, all you got to do is seek, all you have to do is knock, and I will take care. I will help you today. And you will have all things whatsoever you stand in need of. While we stand and they sing this morning, I ask you to search out your own heart, because you know your heart. You know where you stand. And before they sing, how many of you got disappointments to this day that you just cannot forget? You just cannot forget them. But you know, if you bring it to God, God said he would forgive us and forget about them. So I ask you why they sing. Why don't you take that step this morning and put this behind you? Yes. He knows all about you this morning. He knows all the good stuff. And he knows all the other as well. Follow your heart this morning. Yes, cares for his own. Sing it, church. Sing this chorus this morning. Yes, I cannot bear my burdens alone. Bring your disappointments to God. Yes. Anybody else this morning? While they pause for a moment. Today I made mention of our children, and God knows we've got good kids. You know, my biggest disappointment is they're not as dedicated to God as they should be. My nephews, I made mention of, they're good boys. But you know, we have there's that person that we are before people. You know, we're like chameleons. When we're with one crowd, we're one way. And then when we're with another crowd, we blend right into them as well. And God's word says, come ye out and separate yourself. You can't run with all the crowds there are. Because sooner or later, no matter how strong you are, you'll be involved in the same thing those crowds are. And you're known by the people you run with, are you not? If I run with alcoholics, I'm going to be known as an alcoholic, whether I touch a bottle or not. Is that not true? And people say, but I got in trouble, but I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, you was with the wrong people. Right? And sometimes that could even be your family. I got in trouble with my own family. And what a disappointment it was for me to have to call mom and dad, come get me. You say, Roger, you've been locked up? No, I haven't been locked up, but I was at the jailhouse. Some of you say, oh, Lord, if we'd known that about you, you wouldn't be pastoring today. And I go to the verse about Jesus. Ye that's without sin, you cast the first stone. And then we'll see how much hurt that I get, right? I hope you've enjoyed the word of God this morning. Y'all come back and be with us, would you? Anytime you can. Brother Charlie, you come back tonight and preach for us. All right. I was thinking about you last weekend, and Lloyd told me that you was out of town. And I'd love for you to come back and preach for us tonight, if you would. And let's get us a good lunch. Get you something, whatever your fancy is. A bologna sandwich. There you go. You're my kind of people. And get you a nap if you need it. And come back tonight, and let's worship the Lord this evening. Put all of those things behind us and get our hearts right with God and just worship Him. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you. Today is our prayer. I was in Claremont County Jail.